Today I'm talking about Paul's list of commendations. Praise the Lord. And I'm excited. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the Romans. And I always like to start out my sermons with deep thoughts. And so he's writing to the Romans. And he, you know, he didn't start out as a man who would write most of the New Testament. So Paul is certainly a unusual character. But he started out actually persecuting the church in Jerusalem. And on his way to Damascus to persecute the church there, because he wasn't getting enough of that in Jerusalem, so he decided to go to Damascus to take some Christians down. And on his way there, he encountered Jesus in a vision. He experienced a miracle, became a Christian minister to the Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jewish people. And so he traveled throughout the region, and he's ministering to Gentiles, but he had never made it to Rome. And so he writes a letter to them and to encourage them and to, you know, tell him that he's eventually wants to get there. And so at the end of his letter, at the very end of this letter, the part a lot of times you may not even read, he gives personal greetings. And he mentions all these people. He's going through this list of people. And it's interesting how he talks about them, because it gives you a picture of the character of people in the early church. And so what Paul says is encouraging, in that you can see how special it is, you know, to belong to a church. And, you know, belonging to a good church, that's a big deal. And but what he says is also challenging, because you can wonder, gosh, what would Paul say about me? And what description would I have in the church? And so we're going to look at some of these. In Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it starts out. He says, "I commend you, our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church in Cherea," or something like that. I had these down earlier. I practiced them, but forget it. "I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people." God's people deserve a special kind of treatment. He says, "I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me." And so she has a history. Now, Phoebe, she is a woman deacon in the church. And, you know, you don't usually hear people make a lot of references to this. A lot of times what you hear people making reference to is how women should not talk in the church and should not have any authority. But that's not an accurate record of the church. A deacon is someone with authority. And so so what makes her stand out? Well, she was a benefactor to Paul. A benefactor is a sponsor, a supporter. They are human, but they, you know, they take the place or fill the duties of an angel. And so she, you know, she may not have been a guardian angel, but she acted like one. And so Paul is giving her a commendation, telling her, you know, look, here's somebody here that, you know, needs to be treated right. And maybe she had gotten older and was at a stage in her life where she needed help. I don't know exactly, but he makes reference to this lady. She got her name written into the scriptures. When we first come to Jesus, you know, we all need a benefactor. You know, we need someone to bring us the Word of God. We need someone to encourage us in our struggles. But the thing about that is, you know, we shouldn't remain needy. We should mature to the role of becoming a benefactor. That ought to be a goal of ours. You know, I want to be a person who is always helping and supporting others instead of always needing the help myself. Everyone enjoys being served pie, but someone has to serve that pie, right? And so, you know, we should have a goal in the church, you know, to become a person with that kind of reputation. This lady didn't only serve the church, she personally served Paul. And so she's an example of someone that we want to look up to. Now, I have learned, this is just kind of a side note, I have learned that without women, there wouldn't be a church. And I mean, that might just be my opinion, but I admit, you know, from my perspective, they are unique. And they're like mother cats and watching over their kittens. And one minute they're purring and all lovey-dovey, and the next the claws are out, you know. And I was driving home last night. I had the windows down. It was nice. I just headed home. And this cat runs right across the street in front of me. And it must have pounced on another cat, because all I heard was, yeah! You know how they scream? I can't even do it. I'm like jumping in the car. I thought, what in the world? These cats, man, they know how to fight. And but they don't always play nice with each other. I understand that. But if you get in their sights, it can be a little unpleasant. It's better not to get on their bad side. But, you know, moms, they can be unpleasant sometimes. Because they won't let us just do our thing, whatever it is. And but we need our moms. And they say that a man, when he's wounded in the battlefield, at least in the movies, cries out for their moms. And I think that's different. You know, we need godly women that serve as benefactors in the church. Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ. They risk their lives for me, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. I think that's interesting, because it says all the churches of the Gentiles, they were Jews like Paul. Not only did they serve the church, but they were Jews, and they risked their lives for Gentiles. And sometimes it can be hard just doing things for each other. And here they are, Gentiles to them, that would be like a degrading thing. You know, whatever. They lived on the wrong side of the tracks. And yet they risked their lives for them. And so they had earned the distinction of being appreciated by all the churches. You know, I think a couple that does well, if they just get a good reputation in the church that they belong to. I think that's pretty noble. I think that's a pretty high sight, just to be thought of as a noble couple in the church. And here they had a reputation throughout all the churches. This couple did far more than that, having a good reputation in their church. They used the advantage that they had as a couple to be a mighty blessing. How many of you know that God makes us into couples so that we can have an advantage? You know, it's hard out there to face the things in the world, and so when you get a mate, you know, that's supposed to be you. It's like you have someone to help you in your battles, and two can do much better than one person can. But so often, the devil gets in there. That's why he messes with couples so much, because couples, when they get their acts together, oh my gosh, watch out! You know, they are going to be a force. For whatever cause they take up. And so this was one of those couples. They just got it together for Jesus, and they were making an impact. We should strive to be appreciated by those around us. Romans 16:5. Greet my dear friends Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Oh man, I love that. How would you like that distinction? First Christian in Iowa. And he had been a Christian in that region longer than anyone else. No matter how long I've been a Christian for 30 years. He'd say, I've been one 31 years. And no matter what you said, he was always a Christian longer than anybody else. I don't know if he bragged all the time or not, but I think that's awesome. At least in that province. The fact that Paul mentions him, here's what's interesting about this. Okay, so think of this. He's one of the earliest Christians, but the fact that Paul's mentioning him means that he's still on board. He is still in the fight. He hasn't drifted off and gone away somewhere. And, he didn't fall off by the wayside. Christians are steadfast. We might be a mess when we start out, but we can be cleaned up. And we can actually become useful. And that's why we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's why we become a part of the church. And we want to become useful. And so anyway, Romans 16:6, greet Mary. I don't know which Mary this was. There's lots of Marys in the Bible. Who worked very hard for you. And, here is another woman. And she worked hard for others. And so much so that Paul mentions her. And I'll tell you what, we have some hard-working women in our church too. In our times, many people are consumed with their own needs, and it's difficult to expect them to help others when they have such great needs themselves. But I think having the title of being a hard worker, I think that that's a good one. And something that as Christians we should strive to be. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. He says, greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews. Again, here are some Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. And get this, and they were in Christ before I was. See, this couple, they're Jews also, but they were saved before Paul. And what makes this interesting is, I mean, they weren't the first convert of Paul in some region. They were in Christ before Paul. That they would have been in his crosshairs for persecution at one time. And, you know, and it's, I don't know where they came from, but here it is, the same story. They're still around. You know, they're getting their name mentioned, you know, in the list of commendations. Not only that, you know, they were in prison with Paul at times. So here this guy is who used to be chasing them down to persecute them, and now they're buds. Now they're working together, not only that, but they're in prison together. You know, what a wonderful story of grace. I mean, they made friends of their enemy Paul. Paul calls them apostles. They're an example for us not to give up on people who trouble us. And just because somebody's a numbskull today doesn't mean they'll be a numbskull tomorrow. You never know. I kind of learned that one time. I was working at the church. I just thought of the story. And I was working at the church. We had this bus ministry going. And there was this young man. And he was a teacher. And he was helping me. And we got this lady. And she drove the bus. Oh, man, she should not drive the bus. But because she didn't realize. I mean, she just didn't get the idea that, it's like 30, 40 feet further back there, okay? And so she would just cut these corners and too tight and stuff. And she hit something one time and all this stuff. And I remember he came one time, and you know how Christians do, and we're just kind of having a little gab fest back and forth. Yeah, we probably should get her kicked off and talk to the pastor. We're going back and forth and all that. And so we knew we had it together, this poor gal, you know. And anyway, long story short, they got married. Man, I learned to shut my mouth about stuff, because now I'm the guy who was saying all the stuff, you know, whatever. It's just like, I don't care if they lead you into it, just be smart. Anyway, this couple is an example of Christians who persevere. Paul goes on to identify people as friends and co-workers. You know, there's a connection amongst the believers. And, you know, we shouldn't be disconnected and irrelevant to each other. We should be connected in ways that makes us vital to one another. You know, we're in this together. Christians should take ownership of each other's needs and lives, and you know, we adopt fellow Christians as our brothers and sisters. You know, it's hard today because, you know, people are so careless and uncaring. It's, you know, hard to, you know, you don't, I mean, people out in the public, they cut in front of you, and, you know, that disheartened to me in Creston when people do stuff like that. Come on, we're like all neighbors here. You know, I mean, you don't even know who you're, and they just do ugly things and stuff like that. And so it can be hard to be sensitive to people. But in the church, you know, we should be sensitive to one another. You know, we should be bonding with each other. We should be getting intimate with each other. Those kinds of things. Romans chapter 16, verse 10. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. I had to look that up. His fidelity to Christ stood the test. Fidelity means, you know, loyalty, faithfulness, reliability, trustworthiness. Okay, so he was a guy that was in the game, and you knew that he would be there, no matter what. You know, some people demonstrate those things up to a point that things get tough. And I used to be one of those. Man, I'd be your best friend until something went on I didn't like, and I'm out of there. And you didn't want to have to depend upon me. And if I'm in a good mood and we're best buds today, I'd do anything for you, but you don't know about tomorrow because I might have changed my mind. You know, some people demonstrate those things up to the point that things get tough, or up until until you say something they don't like, or until you pick a paint color they don't like, you know, whatever. Not all who say yes to Jesus will stand the test. Many fall away. But that's not so bad, because Peter did too. Remember Peter? He's the one that says, "Oh, Jesus, I'll die with you." And how'd that go? You know, he denied Christ 3 times before the night was over. You know, and so he didn't stand the test. But in the end, he did. And that's the great thing about being a Christian. No matter where you are at, God can change who you are. He can change your character. You know, and so if you're one of those people who kind of bail when the things get tough, you know, you're not necessarily dependable in your relationships. You know, you're supportive as long as you're being treated right, but as soon as you're not being treated right, you know, you stomp off, those kind of things. You know, God can change that character in you and make you someone who's steadfast no matter what, no matter what's thrown in your way. And I don't know about you, but all of us need people around us who will be there for us no matter what's going on. I mean, if they're just there when we're at our best, that's wonderful. But I need people who support me when I'm at my worst. And I need to know that they're still going to love me tomorrow. And, you know, those kinds of things. And so as Christians, you know, that's what God does to us. He changes the character that we have. And, you know, He takes those weak things out of us and He puts strong things on the inside of us. Maybe your walk with Jesus hasn't been stellar, but that isn't an excuse to give up. You can become steadfast and faithful. I mean, I don't know for Paul how he did that. I mean, Peter, I mean, he had to swallow a lot of crow, you know, to realize what he had done. The next day, I'm sure he was very ashamed of himself, and that probably, you know, went to his core, but he did change. You can break the cycle of cutting and running. You can have some fidelity in your life. But you will need to open your heart to others, and you should adopt the attitude that I'm going to become that person. And Paul goes on to greet some more women who work hard. I mean, it's like this broken record. And it makes you wonder, I mean, is it only women who work hard? And I know that that's true because we have some guys around here that have worked very hard. But praise God for hard-working women in the church. Praise the Lord. Paul mentions a woman who has been like a mother to him. Now, that one really sticks out to me. You know, what a wonderful compliment. You know, my mom was great, but she's gone. And I guess I'm probably a little too old to be adopted now. You know, it was good to have a mom. It's good to have a mom in your life. And I know that Paul went through some hard times and things that are too difficult for me to imagine. And, I mean, his ministry, you know, it was tough. And there was a lot going on, in how he had the stamina just to always get through that. Well, a lot of times it was because God put people around him. And here was this woman who was like a mother. See, everybody else may have abandoned Paul at times and just left him alone. But she would come and bring him soup when he was in prison. You know, she was there for him. She was like a mom. What a wonderful compliment to be that kind of person in someone's life. Wouldn't it be grand to be that important in someone's life? To have them consider you to be their mom, their dad? You know, there are a lot of people that could use the support and help that comes with seasoned veterans. How many of you know that the longer you're around, the more you kind of learn about life? And there's a song out there called, I don't know if the title of it, that talks about Dear Younger Me. And, you know, if you had this opportunity to go back and talk to yourself when you were younger, you know, what kind of lecture would you give yourself? Because you just wish, you know, man, if I just knew what I know today back then, you know, I wouldn't have cried on the bus when I didn't get the back seat. So the experience that we just have in life, you know, that's valuable. And guess what? Younger people need it. And they have lots of energy. They can do a lot of work. They're like your stallions. But you know what? They need encouraged. They realize you can't do everything, but you can be a big benefit to them. And when things aren't going so good, you know, we can be the calm in their life. We shouldn't consider ourselves washed up simply because we've aged a little bit. You know, it's tough to be a young person, and we know some things that we can pass on to them. Someone who's experienced in the battles of life can be a big help. And I know that a lot of times, you know, I'm sure if you was growing up, there's a lot of things that would have been different in your life if somebody would have just been there, You know, to give you the right word, the right direction. Maybe not, maybe you've been stubborn, but wouldn't it have at least been nice to have the option? You know, to have someone speak something good into your life? Paul started out as a scoundrel. You know, he wasn't a good guy. He rose from having a bad reputation, though, to being someone who was giving commendations to others. What an honor that is. I mean, I don't know. I suppose if the governor gives you a commendation, that's great. You know, or if your platoon leader gives you a commendation, that's great. But if the general gives you a commendation, that'd probably be greater, wouldn't it? And I mean, so, you know, and so here Paul is. He, you know, he's risen up to the highest place where I mean, to get a commendation from Paul, I mean, that's cool. That's awesome. You know, you got your name in Scripture. And so he's that guy now. What encouraged me about Paul's list of saints is that I know that they were scoundrels at one time, just like we. And yet they rose from where they were, from their reputation, to receive a commendation from Paul. And each of us can too. Each of us can rise from the place that we are and, you know, and be more valuable, you know, to the body of Christ tomorrow. I know there are a lot of Christians who feel unworthy. They feel like they live below the curve, but that isn't the end of your story. You can make the commendation list. And instead of being blacklisted, you can be put on the list of honored saints. Isn't that good news? To know that Jesus can do things in our life, he can make our story different. All these people started out on the blacklist. They had a death sentence upon them, but every one of them was overhauled, praise God. And you can be overhauled also, each one of us. Jesus can clean you up and make you noble. You're not stuck where you're at. And the benefit that we receive from Jesus is just awesome. Don't hang back in the shadows thinking that you don't have anything to offer. I'm going to talk to Aaron. I'm going to talk about you today. He hates this. I should have told him. You know, he I don't know if he wants me to say this or not, but you know, he I think most people know it, but you know, he battles mental issues. And I mean, some days are just impossible for him to function. He just has some bad days. And I mean, it makes you want to cry with him. I mean, it's tough. And I have no idea what it's like. But here's the deal about that is, it hasn't stopped him. He works hard. And he has more customers than he can take care of. He gets up, he volunteers at the hospital. You know, he didn't just sit there and say, well, you know, I guess, you know, poor me. He's at it. He helps me all the time. And doesn't even realize how much help he gives me or how valuable he is. He visits my father and takes him ice cream. He helps, you know, he helps widows. And I mean, he's a person that people look to for help. And there's just no way to explain it, but that's what happens when Jesus gets in your life. I mean, he just takes away all the disadvantages, and he just makes you into somebody different. Jared Hoyt. Now, he'll tell you himself, as a youth, that he was a handful. And that's mildly speaking. But he had an encounter with Jesus. And he joined the Marines, and he served his country in battle. He's a valued employee where he works. It was Jared's help week after week that helped us push through to get into this place. I mean, there's lots of people helped. But, I mean, he was here almost every week, 2-3 nights a week, after he got off work, working till how late at night. His dedication inspired others to come and help. He runs our sound booth. He's at youth every week. He does all the dirty jobs, like, you know, get the volleyball net out and up and all those kinds of things, because he can run harder than the kids himself. He does the tough jobs. He's on the church advisory board. And so, but Jared, he wasn't always that way, I'm telling you. He started out immature. And I don't have hair on my head today because of Jared, if you want to know why that was. But I think it's growing back. God is good. Hallelujah. And you know, that doesn't always happen, but Jesus can do things in your life that are just unexpected. Some people are faithful givers. You know, they're the ones that make it possible for us to pay the lights and do all that. But, you know, you don't hear about them because it's considered, you know, prudent to keep financial giving things private and all that. But, you know, praise God for them. You know, we start out being useless in the kingdom. But when Jesus gets in your life, He changes you. And we should want to be changed. We should want to be changed. And we should want that process to continue. Now, I was a very slow changer. But, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, as long as you're changing, you know, you're gonna get where Jesus wants you. In fact, He says we're predestined to be conformed to His image. And, you know, some people I know, they go gangbusters. But, you know, it doesn't matter what your story is. Just be happy. Jesus is in your heart. And He's changing you. He's making the impossible possible. He takes something that's ignoble and He makes it something that's priceless. Praise God for Jesus. And you're priceless. You may not know it yet, but you are, because it's your identity. And unfortunately, some people, though, you know, unfortunately, not everybody is that way. Some people are nothing but trouble. And they make a different kind of list. And Paul talks about them. Right after he talks about all these great people, then he tells you the people to watch out for. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. Keep away from them. See, there's always somebody coming along trying to, you know, bring some legalism, or that's what they did back then. But the idea is you know, where you're going, they're kind of messed up there. And here, if you want the truth, this is what you should listen to. I'm the guy. And they're just out there, and they're always just, anyway. But it says, keep away them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. But by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. You know, a lot of people use the good name of Jesus to whitewash their selfish schemes. Now, to be honest, sometimes they don't know they're being selfish. But they're not serving Jesus, even though they act and speak like they are. They're really just serving themselves. And, you know, now here's the point to this. You know, we can all cause ripples in the body, you know. And, you know, we don't always have our A game going. And, you know, even I, there's some days that I'm ashamed of. There's some things I do sometimes. I go, oh, man. And I'm supposed, they call me, I'm supposed to be a pastor. Lord, help me. And I have to repent. And, you know, we can cause ripples by our immaturity. And I don't think any of us have become perfect yet in all the things that we say and do. But baby Christians, you know, they don't know that they're causing trouble. Paul isn't saying throw babies out. But there are those who need to be watched. And that takes some discernment. They usually flatter you to your face, but then they cut you down to others. They will tell you that you're the best, but then they tell other people that you have an evil spirit. They cut down whoever's in leadership. They malign the people who are doing all the work. They criticize those who give because they don't give, you know, but they want the commendation of being a giver. And so they're always mad at everybody who does give. If they were here in this body today, they would be mad because I singled out Aaron and Jared instead of them. You know, they would want that. You know, in a loving family, you know, when a loving family, when something happens good to someone you love, you know, you post it on Facebook and go, oh, look what happened to my brother, look what happened to my sister, look what happened to them, you know, you're all yada, 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 everybody's all thrilled. It's normal when you love people and they're part of your family, you're happy when they receive recognition. Yeah, you know. But when we're not really always mature, we're not. And so you have to watch out for that. Now, sometimes, again, they're just immature. They need to grow a little bit, so we don't just cast them out. But they're someone you need to, you know, they just need to be watched and encouraged or kicked out, whatever the case, whatever it comes down to. You know, it doesn't matter how gifted a person is. If all they do is work against you, all you end up with is with an incredibly gifted person working against you. And, you know, and so they can cause great damage. The least gifted person in the kingdom that holds your hands up when they're weak, when they're tired, You know, they're more valuable than the greatest gifted person that doesn't have anything but harm, you know, for you in their intentions. It's more valuable. They're more the least person who is for you, that helps hold your hands up when they're tired. Or they're more valuable to you than whoever that isn't for you. Look around you. Look around me. Look at me. This is a pretty cool place, but we are not the most rad place to be in worldly appearance. There, I'm sure there's some places. I put 4 TV sets up. I don't know what you want me to do, but we tried, okay? But there, I'm sure there's some places that are much cooler than here. We may not be the best place for you. I can't make that judgment. I want you. I don't care that you're weird. I'd love to be your friend. And I'd love to serve in the trenches of life with you. And I'm not that high and mighty. I love all of you. And I'm not saying that there isn't a better place, but I don't know if it would be better for you to be there, because I don't know if they would love you there. I know I will here. And I know I will always encourage each of us to love one another, to build each other up, to be for ourselves, to help, not push down. If over there is the best place for you, to be honest with you, that's where I want you to be. I'm not so selfish that I want someone to not be in the best place that they need to be. But if Abundant Life Family Church is the family that you're meant to be a part of, then I want you here. And I want the benefit. I want to be able to be a benefit to you. And I want the benefit that you offer to this body. I want the family to benefit. If none of us were Christians and we were just out there in the world, I don't know. Most of us probably would not be friends. I don't know. Or there might be a few who would still have like interests and stuff and be fishing buddies, hunting buddies, whatever, that, you know, play cards on Saturday night. I don't know. But probably most of us would not be in the same circles, because we are a varied group of people. And that's what I love about church, is because it's how God takes so many who are so different and makes them into a family. He just makes the impossible possible. And he puts together a list of people that only he can do. And I just think it's great. You know, I just think the normal way the world does things, I mean, to me, that's just, it's just boring. It's boring, uneventful, it's normal, there's nothing to it, it's natural. I mean, when you learn to celebrate the diversity found in your brothers and sisters in the Lord, I mean, life becomes so much more fun. And it has so much more color. It's when love makes the impossible possible. I mean, that's where the good stuff is. I love it. And time is short. And there isn't all that much to gain out in the world anyway. Less every day. People are a treasure. If you're looking for treasure, it's people. Friends are wealth. And, I don't just say that, as some sort of cliche. It honestly is the truth. Invest in people. Use your energies to gain friends. Buy into the Abundant Life Family Church. If you're going to be here, just buy into it. We all were born into families. We don't get a choice about it sometimes. I guess sometimes we get mad and don't hang around them. Other times you just got to go be around them and put up with it for the day, right? And so just buy into it. This is my family. And, and if someone's driving you nuts, just remember, well, at least it's my brother that's driving me nuts. Or at least it's my sister that's driving. And, they're your people. It's a great family. It's a good family. And you will benefit greatly if you sign on. If you buy into it, and you will be a benefit to us greatly. You can make a difference. You know, you can be a stone that other stones rest upon. You can be a brick in God's wall. Isn't that good news? That we don't have to just stand and tolerate our common lives, but we can have uncommon lives. You know, just to be able to love someone who's different. You know, to be able to love the person that's driving you nuts and just, you know, get through it. You know, to be able to fight and make up the next day. You know, and just to wear and tear on each other and to rub shoulders and just mend. It's a great, great experience. And it's what we're going to need to be able to make it through the days that are coming. We're just not going to be able to do it by ourselves. And just think, if two people could make such a difference in the church, think what a body of believers could do. You know, we can make such a mark. And, you know, and I that's just what I want to be known for. I just want people, they can say anything they want about this church, but I want them to say, you know, those people love each other. And, you know, you go there, you know what, you're going to be loved. And might get smacked around a little bit for being weird, but you'll be loved. No, I'm just kidding. And, you know, and so we have a great opportunity here. And I just want you guys, because before we can be attractive and start growing and doing the things, that being the people that God wants us to, we ourselves have to be steady and steadfast. And so we need to have that built into our life, that fidelity, so that when people come in and make you want to pull your hair out, you know, you keep it like John. Yeah. See? you know, it's like, you know, I don't have, if you had kids, the first kid, I mean, oh my gosh, first kid, I thought I was going to die. I thought I didn't think a kid could be stronger than a man, but I was ready. I was just terrible. And you know that, but by the fourth kid I had, a piece of cake. You know, you learned all the tricks. And you know, and so it was better. And so as we get prepared, as we learn to love each other, think how much easier it will be for us. We'll get some characters coming in here and they're going to blow the ceiling off the wall, whatever it is, and we'll just love them, adopt them, watch God change them. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you that you never give up on us, that you always help us, that you're always changing us, growing us, molding us, Lord, turning us into the loving people that you want us to be. Lord, you fill us with wisdom and kindness and gentleness and just steadfastness, faithfulness. And Lord, thank you that those traits exist in this body. Father, I know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I thank you that he has nothing against us. That everyone would prosper. And so we just give you praise for today. We thank you for the days ahead of us, Lord, the changes that will take place in our lives, the people that we will become. And Lord, that next year, after we celebrate our 1 year, this place will have grown, will be different, better. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that our marriages grow and get stronger. Lord, thank you that our finances and our attitudes and everything prospers. Lord, I thank you that we're the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. That everything we put our hands to comes to success. Lord, I thank you that our destiny is winners. Lord, I thank you that when we go someplace where we step becomes holy ground, that you're there with us. Angels camped about us, Lord God. Lord, where there's life, where there's death, we bring life. Where there's sickness, we bring health. Where there's despair, we bring hope. Thank you so much for the privilege that we have, the assignment that we've been given. May we recognize that it's not through our own strength and own abilities, own greatness, but Lord, by your Holy Spirit. We give you praise for today. In Jesus' name, amen.